You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Guys, thanks for joining us on the Best Practice Show podcast. I'm your host, Kirk Barrett, where we are so excited to have you, where you're going to always get great tips, tools, you know, thought processes, and how to create a better practice and a better life. And today is no exception. You are in for a huge treat. If you're thinking about the digital space or just about your future and some great thought processes on how you can stay ahead of things, you've come to the right place because I got a good friend of mine, Dr. Drew Ferris, who is brilliant, and you're going to love this. So grab a pen and hit the share button. You will absolutely enjoy this. Also, if you're here for the first time, I want to welcome you to a great community of people that are just committed to learning. And that's one of the things we're always asking great questions. So if you're showing up here for the first time, I'm going to ask you to just subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. I don't care if it's iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Make sure you subscribe so you get to be a part of everything we send you every single week. Next week, we have a whole bunch of great key opinion leaders lined up. So you don't want to miss out on that. And also, we're going to be taking great notes. So today, during our podcast, you're going to see, I'll have all the notes prepared with all the links, things that Drew mentions and we talk about, so you can always visit back and see those. So Drew, I'm so excited to have you here. Now, this is part of our series with the Seattle Study Club, and you got a call from Dr. Michael Cohen as well as I did. And we all work together in providing great education, but I want to talk, and I got Kevin here, obviously my co-host, who a lot of you already know, but I want to talk about you. And today we're going to be talking about the future and some considerations you have to have if you're a dentist. But first of all, I want to start with how you and I met. So you are not only a speaker, but you're an orthodontist, a tremendous orthodontist. You also have your own study club, Seattle Study Club, in one of the most beautiful places in the world. So I want people to know who Drew Ferris. Who's Drew Ferris?
Yeah, so I'm basically just a Midwestern guy. Grew up in St. Louis, Missouri, and went to dental school in Kansas City, and then slowly was kind of working my way west. Went to Loma Linda for residency, and once I got out to California, it was a done deal. I was telling my parents, I was like, yeah, I'm just gonna be out there 3 years for a residency, and then I'll definitely, you know, move back to the Midwest and set up shop. And turns out about a week into being out there, I was sitting on the beach in Santa Monica, and I just remember calling my parents. I was like, hey, I'm not going to lead you along in for these next 3 years. Like, there's zero chance I'm coming back. I like this beach life. So, was fortunate to move up to Santa Barbara directly after residency. And, it's a beautiful place. I know you came out to visit me probably a year ago now.
Yeah, it's not fair. And we were joking before we went live, is that I hope heaven looks a lot like Santa Barbara. When I got out there, it was actually cold back here. And I was sending photos to my family and walking around. And it's just a gorgeous, special, very special place. And I think it's a secret. And you said it's not really a secret anymore, but it's a really, really cool place. And then just being a part of your study club. I remember you took us to the warehouse district and they've completely revamped that whole area. So I'm just excited to chat with you today.
Yeah. Anytime I bring speakers out, they're like, why didn't you tell me to stay for a few more days? Like, you didn't give me the heads up. But yeah, anyone should come visit. It's a great, great place to be for sure.
Yeah. And if somebody's tuning in for the first time, I want you to share with them what the heck a Seattle Study Club is. And then I also want you to talk about symposium, because not only are you a great speaker and you speak several times under normal circumstances, not necessarily during a pandemic, but you're also one of the key speakers here at symposium. So if somebody's tuning in, they don't know what Seattle Study Club is or symposium, give a little glimpse of what it is.
Yeah. So Seattle Study Club, it's basically a Michael Cohen, who you mentioned, he started this years ago, and it's just evolved into essentially one of the best resources for learning about dentistry. And so when I came into practice, my former partner that I bought his practice, he was already involved. And he, you know, the thing about Santa Barbara is it's definitely a competitive place to be from a dental standpoint. There's way too many dentists. There's way too many specialists. Everyone wants to live out here. But one of the things that my partner, Dr. Kubish, had noticed is that he was like, you know, there's not a lot of interdisciplinary care going on out here in pre-restorative orthodontics. And so Seattle Study Club, you know, I have my own chapter out here now. It's called Santa Barbara Dental Study Group. And with the guidance and the speakers bureau and everything that Michael and the Seattle Study Club bring, we basically meet 9 times a year, bring the best, hottest, you know, latest and greatest speakers from all over the country, all over the world to come to Santa Barbara. You know, we basically bring that continuing ed to our group, which at this point is say up to 40, you know, it's GP focused. And then we have each specialty represented. And so say 40 GPs. And yeah, we're just able to continue to learn and grow together as clinicians. We always touch on the business side, clinical side, we have hands-on. We just bring in a lot of great speakers, and what it ultimately does is just, it increases the level of care that's being provided to our community here in Santa Barbara.
It's awesome. It's awesome. And I've heard so many people say this, and no one is as smart as all of us, or no one, you know, the collective wisdom that happens in such a great group like that. Now, on January 19th through the 21st, they'll be hosting symposium. Now, I'm sad because this is the first virtual symposium. It's usually a symposium that's way over the top, just from an experience standpoint, education, food, entertainment. But if somebody's been on the fence and thinking about doing this, and they're like, I don't know, I think this is the perfect year. And Kevin, you mentioned it in our interview with Josh Austin. This is the perfect year to jump in, don't you think, Drew?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think I experienced my first one, I think it was in 2013, maybe. And after that, I'm like, I don't think I'll ever miss one of these ever again, because mm-hmm. it's that over the top from a, you know, it's the best meeting of the year every year. And time again, they outdo themselves. But yeah, the nice thing is that people that just want to experience it, like, this is a great year to do that virtually and kind of see what, you know, the high level of speakers and the wide variety of topics that'll be, you know, on display. And so then I think after you see that, then you're going to want to go see it live, each year, which usually towards the beginning of the year, and they're always in great locations, always at the best places with the best entertainment, best food, best speakers. And it's hard to beat.
Yeah.
Just looking at this list of pictures, I mean, such an awesome lineup of people that we had in our COVID conference and, mm-hmm. and beyond that, it just, I mean, I don't know how you can look at this list and not sign up. I think one thing I'll correct you here, Kirk, is it's the January 29th through 31st.
Okay, so thank you. Let's put that out there. I have an additional slide. Yeah, so thank you for correcting me on the details, and we'll post a link to this. But yes, that is absolutely true. And it's not only the education, it's the people, it's the relationships. Yeah. I love the one-on-one. I consider an appointment with myself just for mental health and like just education, but also the relational side of things. And that's really quite special. So I would say no question, check it out. And today we're going to be talking, Drew, just a little glimpse of some of the things and the concepts you teach. Now you teach a lot of great concepts, and I'm not just saying this because you're my friend and I really respect you and I really love what you've done in your practice, but I've listened to you in a lot of the treatment planning things. And I was telling Kevin this, I'm like, that is crazy brilliant how he thinks. And today we're going to dive deep into one of the concepts that comes up a lot. When we talk about the future, it's this whole analog to digital concept. So walk us through this whole thing. You're an orthodontist, you lead your own study club, and you are often referred to, not just you specifically, but the orthodontist, as one of the most valuable pieces to an interdisciplinary study club. But walk us through why this is such an important topic, analog to digital now.
Sure. Well, I think in general, orthodontics in an interdisciplinary setting is definitely a critical part of any team. You know, from a restorative standpoint, implant standpoint, you know, this comprehensive care. I think the main issue with orthodontics in it, as its role within that team, is that is basically patient acceptance, right? So it's hard to always get patients to accept, you know, 2 years of braces when they just want to, you know, what they want, veneers, or they want, you know, some cosmetic dentistry and they want it now. Right. And so, you know, I always explain to patients that it's like, if you're building a house, you're not going to put all these nice, you know, shiny fixtures and everything on a poor foundation. And then it just all fail down the road. And so orthodontics to me is like, it's the foundation where we're putting the teeth in the right spot so the patients can get the best restorative work. They can get implants in the right place, increase longevity, increase aesthetics, all of that stuff. But where the analog to digital process is really helped with that is, for one, and we can talk about COVID times, pre-COVID times, whatever, but everyone expects to have a digital experience at this point, right? There's in any different, you know, whatever type of consumer you are, in any different type of, business, you know, we're expecting kind of a digital approach, a digital platform. And for me, you know, orthodontics is no different. Dentistry shouldn't be any different. And so analog to me is that traditional braces, you know, we have to see the patient, say, monthly, we're bending wires, we're doing things to manipulate the teeth. And what Align, for example, so I use a lot of Invisalign. And the reason why, you know, there's a lot of different clear aligner companies on the market at this point, but in my opinion, Invisalign's the most advanced to date. They got a head start for sure, but they're so innovative in what they continue to do. And one of the things is just the end-to-end digital platform. So, you know, at this point, a patient, and I give the patient the experience that they want, right? So I don't always just define what I think a patient should want as a good experience. I want to give them some options there. So it starts with a new patient phone call, and that's where that digital process begins. But basically I have three types of exams for patients at this point. One is like the traditional exam. They're going to come in, they're going to spend an hour. I'm going to spend a good amount of time with them, say 15 minutes. And we're going to go over all their records. I'm going to give them a detailed plan, and we're going to give them how much it costs, and we're going to get them started that way. And a lot of consumers like that, especially I feel like the older ones, they want to know, like, why am I spending this money? I want every detail I can know before I make this investment. And then the second option that I have is, I call it our scan and pan exam, but it's basically an express exam. And what I do is I take a CBCT and I take an iTero scan. Those things, to take those two together, it takes 4 minutes probably total. I pop in, I look at the simulation. So iTero scanners have such an amazing software to be able to show them simulations, show them where they're at now, where you want them to be. You can digitally manipulate the teeth. You can educate them that way. They can see kind of where the before and after is. And then I also show them their CBCT. They're looking at their skull. I'm spinning it around. I have a 3D facial photography that overlays that. You can work your way in. So there's a wow factor with the digital technology, but there's also a big advantage from a treatment standpoint as well. And so that's like the express, that's 30 minutes or less. And then the third exam is it's a virtual exam. So what I'm always amazed by at this point is I have a little widget on my website where you can do a virtual exam, and it basically gives you a minute video on how to take the photos I need. And it's a platform to submit the intro of photos that I need to then make an assessment, give a diagnosis and a treatment plan, and give the cost to that. So there's these, people 2:30 a.m. Every morning I wake up to a new text saying you got a new SmileSnap patient or whatever, and then I can analyze and it weeds out some of the patients that are serious, some of them that aren't, because I can tell them what the cost is. Doesn't take up an exam slot, but it's also more convenient for them. And then we have a platform within the virtual care side of Invisalign where we do something Zoom oriented, where they're basically in a waiting room and I bring them into my Zoom meeting. I can look at them, explain treatment virtually. And it's just been amazing how many of these patients are like, well, I've always wanted to do treatment, but I didn't want to go sit in a waiting room for 30 minutes to wait on the doctor and then to be told what I need. Like I work, in technology, I work every day from a computer at my desk. And now that I have access to this and I have, access to an expert, it's amazing. And so, I'm just amazed by these patients that they will never have seen my office, and they'll start treatment from a digital standpoint. And then, when we get them to come in to take a scan and get their aligners, it's the first time they actually set foot in our office.
Yeah. Kevin, what are your thoughts? Awesome. When you hear Drew say that, Drew, number one, you're thinking way far in advance of everybody else, and you're removing obstacles more than anything. Don't you think, Kevin?
No, I think that's amazing. The fact that you can overcome so many of the obstacles that prevent people from actually getting quality dental treatment, and I think that's such a cool thing that hopefully can merge into the general field as well, because there's so many possibilities with that you can really take and run with. So such a cool option. I'm excited about looking.
Yeah, it's funny because I always joke. I'm like, I mean, this guy just paid me, $7,500 for orthodontic treatment without ever seeing my office, and I just built this brand new, beautiful office. You can see some of it in the background right now. But I'm thinking about that. I'm like, I spend all that money. I could be sitting in my basement right now, starting treatment cases. It's definitely opened up a large, different population of patients. And I think the great part about it, from like when we go back to that analog to digital approach, is that having the ability to do things digitally like this has been so helpful for me, especially during COVID, right? So you never know, I wouldn't expect that 2 years ago we would have had mudslides in Santa Barbara that kind of shut down the community for a while. And I definitely didn't expect to have a pandemic. But to be able to still advance my patients along in the orthodontic process and in that overall interdisciplinary process, because I've done it in a digital way where then it's creating the aligners, it's having them sequence through those, and I don't have to see them every month. I mean, I can go out 3-4 months or more, and they're still making progress. And so that the nice thing about that is my practice wasn't just dead in the water for the 6 weeks that we were essentially shut down through March and April. And so for me now, it's looking forward and saying, well, we never know what's going to happen, but what's the best way to future proof the practice from anything that's going to happen? And I think the best way I know to do that is to capitalize on the digital approach, because then you can treat people, from a distance and not always have them in the office for that.
Yeah. Now you're on the inside of a lot of these conversations. Give us the biggest myth you hear about making that leap from analog to digital. What are some of the, what comes to mind? Anything in mind? That's not really true when people say that.
Well, I think part of it, I mean, there's like a capital investment that goes into it, right? So why would I treat with Invisalign if I'm paying $1,800 for a lab fee when I could slap some braces on for $200 and go from there. And so, I mean, in my opinion, that type of stuff's pretty short-sighted because, you know, if you're actually crunching the numbers and looking at, you know, I think a lot of times the dentists and doctors in general, we just don't value our time as much as we should, but the amount of time that can be saved from a digital approach and the amount of additional patients that you can bring within the office, because it frees up a lot of chair time, far outweighs what I'm paying in lab fees. So I think that's one of the myths from that standpoint. I think the other thing is like thinking that patients just want to be seen more, you know, from an orthodontic standpoint. Like, I think sometimes you get caught in, well, I'm going to charge X amount of dollars for treatment. They want to see me all the time to get their value out of that. And I feel like in this day and age, they don't. Like, they feel like it's more of a value not to see you. And I think it's more of just an ego thing as a doctor that we're trying to see them more frequently. So I think there's things with that. And then I guess the other part is like, you know, you just have to develop your systems. If you're kind of straddling on the fence of analog and digital and you're kind of dipping back and forth between them, then I think that's probably the most efficient you can be. You kind of, you got to go for it if you're going to go for it. But we know that's where we're headed. So it's just, you know, being on the earlier side of that, as opposed to just because your systems can become inefficient if you're doing a lot of analog stuff and a lot of digital stuff. So it's nice to kind of go all in, and that's kind of been my philosophy.
And we were talking with Josh Austin earlier. He's talked about the communication aspect of things. When you could actually have a scan and it's right in front of them, you can manipulate it however you want to do it and flip it, and the patient can see everything that you're talking to them about. It really takes away the ability to have to like talk because a scan says a million words or whatever you want to say it. But I think that's an amazing tool that you can use for communication aspect.
Yeah, I mean, it's communication with the patient for sure, like patient education, because, you know, a lot of times, like say a patient's got a deep bite and we'll say, and we're doing this with our hands as orthodontists, and we're saying we want to intrude the teeth, which they don't know what that means. So we say, so we're like, well, we're going to move them up. And they're like, you're going to bury my teeth in my gums, you know? And then we're like, no, like everything's going to remodel. And like, just having that conversation is difficult. But when you have when I have my iTero scanner there with the simulation, I say, we're going to move these teeth up. I click on the tooth, drag it up. The gums move up with it. Everything moves up with it. The tooth stays the same height because we're not burying it, right? Then they're like, oh, I get it. You know, so it's just stuff like that. But then when we, from an interdisciplinary standpoint and working with the other people on my team, so the restorative dentists, the surgeons, the endodontists, it's so nice to have the digital platform where we can look at it all together. And then like from an orthodontic standpoint, it's, I think general dentists, probably restorative dentists, get annoyed with the orthodontist sometime whenever you have a goal, right? But you don't really know what that goal is. And the restorative dentist knows where they want the teeth. So you keep, as an orthodontist, you keep sending the patient back to the restorative dentist and saying, are we there yet? You know, and then the dentist's like, no, I'm using this ceramic. I need this much clearance or whatever it is. And so from a digital standpoint, what we can do now is we'll basically sit, like tonight I'm meeting with my prosthodontist and we're going over 4 cases tonight, but I'll have the simulation on the screen and I'll manipulate the teeth. He'll manipulate the teeth with me on the screen. And then I say, if I can get you to here, are you going to be happy? And then I have that endpoint. And then basically from there working back, it's just a ClinCheck that I designed. That's like the turn by turn, you know, roadmap to get to that destination. And so it's just helped along, you know, communication across the board from patient and then inner clinician.
I love that. As well as analog versus digital, there's so many, or analog versus aligners. I think you can really do a lot more with aligners as opposed to traditional braces. Can you jump into that topic a little bit? And
yeah, I mean, I think that's traditionally like one of the other areas of resistance is it's definitely a learning curve to treat complex cases with aligners. Just like there was a learning curve on how to treat complex cases with braces. But I would say the majority of complex cases are adults. And we know that patients are living longer. We know that they're keeping their teeth longer. And we know that there's going to be more and more of a need for more restorative work. And so the deal is we're dealing with adults in those settings. And I still, it's maybe once a year I have an adult come in that's like, can I get braces? You know, no adults want braces. And I think that was where the limitations were from an interdisciplinary treatment planning standpoint is the restorative dentist, the surgeon, everyone knew that the patient needed orthodontics, but they weren't willing to go into it because they were 45 years old and didn't want to have braces on. And so for me, and I actually remember going to a course, it was probably in 2012 or 13, I went to a course in Nashville, Tennessee, and it was basically a course where the orthodontist, it was an in-office course, which was talking about if a patient comes in asking for Invisalign, here's how you flip the script and convince them to get clear braces. And so I was sitting in that course, I'm like, why don't we just learn how to use Invisalign at a high level? So then we actually give the patient what they want and they still get a really high quality of care. I'm like, that sounds like kind of a no-brainer, right?
Right. Hey, I have so many questions on this too, because you're a pretty progressive thinker. What percentage of aligners do you do versus traditional? I mean, we won't hold you to it, but give us some perspective on it.
Yeah. I mean, I know these numbers pretty well, but I think last I checked, I'm over 70% aligners, trending wow. toward
70%. Yeah.
And the thing is, I still do a lot of braces. So that 20, it's not like that 20%, you know, I'm just cannibalizing all my patients. There's still patients that want braces. And there's still certain movements that I feel comfortable doing with braces, but in those settings, usually it's the patient wants Invisalign. Say there's like a dumped in posterior molar or something like that, that I need some mechanics with fixed attachments or temporary anchorage devices or something. I use it in combination. So it's kind of a hybrid approach where they're still having Invisalign, especially in the aesthetic areas, but maybe down in the back, like I have a segment of brackets. And so there's really not any cases in my mind that I can't treat with aligners at this point, which is important for your team to know and important for, you know, your patients to know. When I look at a year like 2017, I think I was 55% last year, you know, it just keeps snowballing. And so, yeah, I think that'll continue to grow. And for me, like if my practice was 100% aligners, I would love it. Like, yeah. My challenges throughout the day and the things that screw up my schedule and everything are unexpected broken brackets or appliances or something that break. It's never like the kid's not wearing his Invisalign or whatever. I mean, that doesn't take any doctor time for me. We just take a new scan or give them a quick pep talk. And, you know, so yeah, I would say that, you know, my office will just continue to grow. And I mean, I think if you look at all the different companies, you look at Align, I mean, they just came out with their Q3 earnings. I mean, their stock's continuing just to go crazy. I mean, there's a demand for it for sure, right? Okay.
Now, there are a couple questions I have too, because with the growing number of aligner cases being done in the United States and there's competition, speak to this. You know, you still, and I'm biased by asking this question, you still have to know how to treatment plan. You still have to know how to diagnose. Can you speak to, just because you're moving to aligners, this is not the Tesla where it's going to drive itself type of a thing. Like, you still need to know how to do all this, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I would argue that my treatment planning has become better with aligners because we're using that whole digital setup. And like, I know that with aligners, it's more of a proactive thing. So for example, like I can't just come up to the chair and tweak a wire and just be reactive to where the teeth are at that point. Like I have to plan for where I need to go and then I got to plan it all the way through. And then I have to know along the way, like what each other specialist is going to be doing. So like, say we get to 6 months and we need to provisionalize or, you know, so for me, I think it's been better from a treatment planning standpoint, just because of the digital capabilities of how to plan it, those digital wax ups, that type of thing. But then on the other side of it, you're right. Like you can't just send something to Align and have a technician down in Costa Rica just put together a perfect thing. There's algorithms and different things within the computers that try to plan what attachments are needed and how the aligner is going to work and all of that stuff. But the doctor ultimately has to decide what movements that they need and if it's set up to do that. And so that's what distinguishes. There's at this point, you can't you can't say that aligners can't do X, Y, and Z. You could say I can't do it with aligners just because I haven't worked through those learning curves. But there's plenty of amazing clinicians out there that are doing amazing things with aligners. And it's just because they understand the mechanics of it and they set up their cases the right way.
I guess that's the beauty of something like Seattle Study Club, where you have all these specialists and GPs that are in the same environment, learning all these different modalities of treatment. So there's a little plug there for,
there you go. There.
But I think it's just so important to surround yourself with those that have that experience. And if you want to learn that technique or develop an idea how to do a treatment plan of a complexity that you're not comfortable with, you have support around you. So bravo to that. And I think that's important. So,
yeah. And Kevin, that's a great plug. And I'll also piggyback on that too, because sitting in my first couple, you know, I'll totally screw this up, but Drew, you'll correct me. You know, Michael Cohen would always say there's only one real true diagnosis. You know, there's multiple treatment plans. And sure, that's the beauty of understanding this, because when you go to something like this, even when it's, you see some of the greatest minds treatment planning one diagnosis. And they might even differ a little bit on the diagnosis, but the clearer you get, the more data you have, you're going to realize, no, there's one diagnosis, but multiple treatment plans. Give us your perspective or take on that when you look at the ortho side of it.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with that. I think we've, you know, our Santa Barbara Dental Study Group, for the last couple, they've had world team treatment planning championships. If you try to explain that to patients, they're like, what a bunch of nerds, or even like a study club to our patients. You're like, oh, 40 doctors we meet and talk about teeth every, you know, one time a month. But I mean, that's what we do, right? But it's, I participated in the world team treatment planning championships for a couple of years. And those are always interesting because you have people from all over the world, top clinicians that are, yeah, they're getting one case with the diagnosis, the one diagnosis, but then to see the different treatment modalities that can spin off of them, the treatment plans, is amazing. And that's where the learning really happens. I think the other thing is, like, from an orthodontic standpoint, it's rare to have an orthodontist as a director of a Seattle Study Club. I'm probably one of maybe a couple out of the however many hundreds there are. But for me, I think that's where, like, my niche here in town, doing pre-restorative orthodontics, knowing the restorative side of it. For example, like, we did a hands-on course last year with Jerry Cheech. So you got a legend teaching us how to do hands-on on type and on. It's like you're back in dental school doing, you know, veneer preps. And I'm this orthodontist doing these veneer preps, and my colleagues are laughing at me like, what are you doing over there? But learning how to do that, because then what I take away from it is, oh, this is where you need the gingival margins, or this is where you need the tooth, because this is the thickness and this is the prep. And so just learning the different aspects of different specialties then helps me treatment plan and then execute my cases better.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, we have a local study club too. And our oral surgeon was always just diving into the restorative component of things. Like, it's not often you hear oral surgeons talk about the restorative end of things, but it makes such a difference when they have a knowledge base that they can bring into a treatment plan and understand the complexities that both or multiple people are providing. So bravo to that. That's awesome.
Now, if you're listening to the podcast, like, I'm going to piggyback on that too, Kevin. Like, people ask me about dentistry all the time, and I'm like, dude, it's the greatest profession ever. And so I actually had a babysitter years ago who married this guy named Brad, and Brad came, and he's like, should I be an MD or a dentist? I'm like, oh, well, you know what my answer would be. And then when he got into it, I'm like, dude, you should be an orthodontist. Like, just be an orthodontist. He's like, why? I'm like, you should be an orthodontist, because those, not only is it an unbelievable profession, but it's also, I think you guys are positioned to change the world more than anyone, not just because of the digital straightening teeth occlusion thing, but we've got so many important topics coming up, like airway. We've got children. Like, can you speak to the future of orthodontics when you see all of the hot topics we're talking about now with airway and inflammation? Just what's your take on that?
I mean, I think we've evolved as a profession. Like, we used to, I mean, at one point in time, I mean, there was orthodontists that were taken out for premolars on 80% of their patients. and, you know, treating to certain numbers. But now looking at data and looking at research and all of these cases that were treated, like, yeah, TMJ, you know, now being able to visualize that, and that goes into that digital side of it with the CBCT capabilities that we have, airway volume, all the changes that we can make for patients in regard to that. And then you combine what we can do orthodontically, and then you, you know, combine that with orthognathic surgery or different surgical modalities. Yeah, it's just, it's amazing what we can do for patients' quality of life. That's more than just a pretty smile. But even if it was only a pretty smile, like, that goes a long way too, you know? And like, if you look at the studies on, you know, people perceive people with an aesthetic smile, you know, as more confident, as more intelligent, as more trustworthy. Like, and the, you know, they've done multiple studies where they'll take the same person in a deck, and one they'll have Photoshop bad teeth, one they'll Photoshop a good smile, and then they have people rate the, those people. And like, every time the person with a good looking smile is rated better in all of those different categories. So yeah, it's, I mean, smiles change people's lives. And then the fact that then from a health, oral health standpoint, so whether it's dental wear or function or TMD issues or airway issues, the fact that we're moving in the direction of being able to make big changes in that. I think it's just an amazing profession to be in. It's constantly evolving, so you're constantly learning, which is, you know, what it's all about.
Now, I don't want to give away, you're going to go into the how, but coming up in January, the symposium, you're going to be talking about the future proofing, and you're going to go through all the details. But let's talk about the why. You know, as a young clinician, whether you're a GP, whether you're another specialist, whether you're an orthodontist, you can't subscribe to the seven most expensive words in business anymore, which is, that's the way I have always done it. You know, like, you really do have to embrace the future, even if you don't like it. And as much as we like to say we like change, there's some of us that don't. So would you say that this is kind of a non-negotiable component of making sure you've got a long history and career in dentistry, don't you think?
For sure. I mean, I think no matter where you're at, I mean, it's easier to realize that you need to make change if you have a lot of competition, right? Because if you start getting kind of left in the dust, and, you know, but I think patients are demanding more, and with patients having more information at their fingertips every single day, like, you can no longer say, like, well, this is just the way we've always done it, because they're like, well, I just looked online and I saw a million different ways that people do it all over country, you know, or all over the world. I don't think you can do that. I think from like a standpoint of me, like, you know, being a fairly young clinician coming out, like, and coming into a really competitive market, I had to be willing to, and we're still every day making changes and trying to grow and trying to, you know, provide better treatment and a better experience for our patients. But it's, I mean, change is hard because you got a whole team that you got to get on board with the changes as well. And everyone likes to just cruise along at that, you know, what the norm, their status quo, but in making changes is hard. But I think the more frequently you're making changes and the more you get your team used to, one, getting them on board for what, you know, why you're doing it and why it's going to be better. And then them seeing those results. I mean, I think that's what it's all about.
Yeah. And Kevin, I have a bunch of other questions, but I don't want to jump over yours. One of the questions I want to ask you is, as I talk to young dentists about the future of dentistry, I'm passionate about it. I believe it's an unbelievable. And then I do what I just told you. I'm like, you should be an orthodontist. And they're like, well, I don't know. There's so much, you know, now you can do ortho at home. You know, I don't know if there's, can you just speak to that? Because I know the answer, but you're in the trenches doing it. Like, yeah. Can you speak to all of the things that you see? Now, this is a taboo subject, but right. Like all the things that are potentially on the landscape with people being able to do ortho at home by themselves and right. All that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the way that I look at it, and I probably look at it a little different than some, because you can get on these online forums and stuff, and people are so down on orthodontics. And they, you know, they're like, back in the golden years of orthodontics, you know, you could do this, this, and this. for me, like, I think we're there. I mean, maybe it can get better, but we're in a pretty good place. We have companies that are do-it-yourself companies that are spending $250 million in marketing to teach people, you know, or to tell people the importance of having straight teeth and how much having a nice smile, you know, means. And they're driving all of these people, educating people, that it's opened up this whole pool of patients that maybe would have never had exposure to it. And now all these people have an exposure to it. And so the pool is huge. It's bigger than it's ever been. And as an orthodontist, we're at the top of that heap, right? So like, if a patient's educated and has the means, like, you know, they're going to come get treatment from who they think is going to give them the best result. And then you have companies like Align who, you know, they spend a ton on marketing, all of these new aligner companies coming in. And so there's just more exposure than there's ever been to orthodontics. And I think becoming the expert, you know, in that digital approach with aligners is a great place to be, because you're always going to be needed. And there's never going to be, I mean, computers are great, but I never think that someone's got to manage all of that. And you can have the best algorithms there are, but I mean, there's an art and a science to what we do from a clinical standpoint. And, you know, I feel like at least as long as I'm in practice, you know, I'm never going to be obsolete as being the specialist in moving teeth. Right.
I love that. So, Kevin, I know you got a question. Go ahead.
No, I'm just really excited for your talk, I guess, at the symposium. I think it's going to be great to combine a lot of the futuristic components of what's going forward, but it's also here. So it's motivating the crowd of GPs or orthodontists that are not quite on board and ready to jump in. I think the time is now. I just got a scanner over the, you know, COVID, and that was not the ideal time to do it, but it's been remarkable, changed our practice. But you have to have the team. Like you said, you have to start with the why. You have to have the communication ability to do this and build your foundation before committing to all the tools and the bells and whistles. But
right.
All about this talk. I love this.
I get excited about the orthodontic side of it, you know, and like all the technology. But I mean, it's in every different area of dentistry, restorative dentistry, implant dentistry. I mean, it's amazing, the technology. Those navigation systems for placing implants, like some of this stuff is just, I mean, it's incredible. And it's good for the patient, which should be kind of the number one reason why we do things, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I always talk about, like, in my practice, I want to provide the absolute best possible care that you can get anywhere. But you can do that. And patients, I mean, a patient doesn't know, like, what a socked in class one with 20% overbite and just, you know, they don't know what all that is. But they know if they've had if it looks good, and they know if it feels good, and they know if they've had a good experience. So those are the two things within my practice: provide that, you know, provide that high quality of care, and also do it when, you know, with them having a great experience. And I think you could take that philosophy in any different aspect across the board in dentistry, and that person's going to be successful from a treatment and from a, you know, patient care standpoint, and they're going to be a successful business person, because that's what people desire, right?
Yeah. Can I ask both of you a question? I'm going to ask you this first, Drew. Has there ever been a more exciting time to be in dentistry than now?
No. I mean, it's impossible. There's no way that there's been. I mean, I couldn't even imagine what, like, looking back, what could have come out in orthodontics that made it. I mean, it's just amazing the amount of improvements, even within the last 5-10 years.
Yeah.
I would definitely say, yeah, it's the most exciting time. I mean, I've, you know, been practicing for about a decade, so I don't, you know, I can't speak to everything before, but I, you know, I know where we're at now, and I know where we were before, and it's pretty amazing, you know, what's coming, or what's here, and what's coming down the pipe.
Yeah. I mean, to piggyback that, I had a dad who's in the dental field, so I'm experience beyond this 7 years I've been out. But at the same point, he and I are always talking about the different things I'm doing, and he's like, that is just amazing that that's even a possibility. Never in my professional career that I have that option to even do these things that you're taking on. So it's really quite a cool time. And I hope, though, 5 years, 10 years, whatever it is from now, we're having the same conversation saying, remember we had that talk in that podcast episode 5 years ago, look where we are now. So that's just the constant progression that this community and this profession brings. So
absolutely.
Bring it absolutely. On. Good, right?
So. Yeah. And so if you're a young dental professional looking at this and you're like, I don't know about dentistry. You know, the one thing I would just encourage you to ask yourself is, who am I around and what are they doing to me? And I think a key piece to anybody's development is just being in the right room, being in the right group, being around somebody who's just, and that's why having these conversations, being in a study club, having a great group of specialists, having a mentor, going to a great meeting is so key to your future, because what you do, what separates the best from the rest isn't so much what they do, it's how they think. They just think differently. They think about a future that's exciting. They think about how they can get creative. Heck, after this is over, I'm going to do your virtual exam on your website and I'm going to put my face on there just so I, cause I've never even heard of that. So I just want to try it. And I'm like, that's just outside of the box. And I got to believe, you know, that's really, it's something, it's just, it's exciting type stuff. So, I love the idea of just being around other people. And I know, Drew, you got to leave here in a little bit, but one of the questions I want to ask is this, and Kevin, you are right, that is January 29th and 31st. If I'm kind of on the fence, Drew, help me understand why I need to go to this. Like, why would I go to symposium virtually?
Well, I would say, I mean, just to piggyback on what you were just saying, when I go to a Seattle Study Club symposium, I just look around and I'm like, am I the stupidest guy in this room? Like, I'm like, these people are all so freaking amazing. And like how they think and what they do. And so exactly what you speak to, as far as if you can surround yourself with people that are better or doing big things and that are, you know, like-minded in that they want to grow as a person, they want to grow as a clinician. I mean, that's what happens at Seattle Study Club events, because it's that high level. And I think in wanting to be that complete clinician, right? So, you know, you're so well-rounded and because there's a business aspect that goes into Seattle Study Club. Any Seattle Study Club symposium that you go to, you can get a bunch of amazing business stuff. And we're not talking about just like business stuff from some dentist that has a big practice. We're talking about Fortune 500 leaders, you know, in industries and people that you look at, you're like, how did he do this? And then you get inside their brain, right, on how things are done. And then you bring it back to dentistry and you're like, wow. So yeah, I would just say that if you're looking to just become a better all around complete clinician, then check this virtual symposium out. And then once we got this COVID behind us, then do the live thing, because it's amazing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I think it's a no-brainer. So check it out. We'll post a link for it in the show notes, and I'll be there. Kevin, I know you're going to be there. Drew, you'll be there. It's a lot of fun. And then when it goes back to being an in-person meeting, that's when you really got to go, because those are the really fun times. So Drew, I can't thank you enough for being on. I know for the benefit of people that are listening on iTunes or haven't watched the video, like if I want to learn more about you, how do I find information about you? Or I would just say this, if you're a study club director and you haven't had Drew speak, are you sleeping under a rock? Like, get him out to your, you know, to your study club, because he's going to challenge the way you guys think. So Drew, how do I get a hold of you?
So you can find, my practice website's ferrisorthogroup.com. And then I also got a site, drdrewferris.com. But you can find me that way. And then hopefully I'll be out and about. We were talking before we went live about how many live lectures I gave last year, and it seemed like it was almost every week I was somewhere else. And now being grounded and doing, you know, a couple live on Fridays and still maintaining a practice, it's been a different experience, but it's been fun. And I hope to see everybody, meet everybody, get out and about pretty soon. Come check it out.
Well, I got an idea. As soon as we're able to travel again, you're going to host all of us.
Yeah, we're going to Santa Barbara. That's awesome.
I don't know if we're going to do any. You're going to take us just to a culinary wine experience in such a beautiful place. What do you think? I just voluntold you for that assignment. Hey, is that okay?
Anytime. You come on out.
That's awesome, buddy. Well, I appreciate you being on. So
thanks,
Yeah, thank you so much. So thank you guys for watching the Best Practices Show or listening wherever you're listening. If you enjoyed today, just do us a favor, hit the share button, share it with your friends. Keep sending us suggestions for shows that you want to see, not only with Drew, we'll have him back again and again and again, and ask him some difficult, like maybe we'll do a whole one on torque and how you do that with aligners and some thought processes on that, because I heard you talk about that at Symposium, and that was just very, very cool. Keep sending us suggestions for things that you want to see. We'll keep lining them up. Next week, we have like a great lineup for us, and if you're thinking about it, don't think about it. Just go to Symposium. We'll see you online there for the upcoming Symposium in January. And until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. See you guys.